right, okay, here we go. Welcome to another episode of the I Know What I'm Talking About podcast. I got another guy here who, you know, who's been around the game for pretty much his whole life up to this point. I'd like to welcome a good friend of mine, Ethan White, to the show. So, Ethan, let's go ahead and get started. Let's start out talking about, you know, you and your collegiate career and where you started off. So go ahead and, you know, you could just start off, you know, exactly where your collegiate career started, you know, when you graduated high school.
Okay, yeah. So first of all, I just want to say thank you for having me here, Philip.
Yes, sir. No problem.
Been working hard on your side, trying to do this, and I listened to your first episode. You're doing a good job, man.
Appreciate it. Most definitely appreciate that.
So, but back to the point, when I first started, I started at, East Central High School. It was a grind. I would say I had an up and down success, but it's pretty much a steady up incline. As many of, you know, if people followed me during my high school career, I had two knee surgeries, one in my sophomore year, one in my senior year. I think that kind of slowed me down
right. With
my college. But I ended up going to junior college first, which is at Lamar State College in Port Arthur, Texas. It was right, probably like 20, 30 minutes away from Lamar University in Beaumont.
Mm-hmm.
So I redshirted my first year, trying to learn, you know, the offense, trying to learn the junior college ways and stuff. In the second year, I averaged like around 8 points per game for my first college career. I was 38% from the 3-point line. I was 40% from the field. So it was like decent stats
right. For
my first year, for a freshman first year. And, but after my first year, it was my second year of college. So, my coach and I, we decided to look for a 4-year university when I got my associates from that school. And I ended up going to Our Lady of the Lake University. Our Lady of the Lake University was an NAIA Division I school in San Antonio that we played. We played in a Red River Conference. So schools like Houston Tillerson, LSUA, Alexandria, LSU Shreveport, et cetera, and stuff. Go ahead.
My fault. Well, I was just going to say, in Paul Quinn College in the same conference as y'all?
Yes, Paul Quinn is in that conference, yes. Paul Quinn, so as University of Southwest in New Mexico.
Right.
So it's one of the top conferences in NAIA, actually, because every year we have like 3 or 4 schools from that conference nationally ranked.
Mm-hmm.
So OLU has been nationally ranked a couple of times also. So I had a good year that year because I was number 6 in 3-point percentage. I was shooting the clip, the 3-point clip at 49%.
Wow.
And then there were some issues financially that my coach and I had. So we kind of like parted ways. I went to Xavier University of Louisiana.
That's my fault. So, and isn't that where? Because I remember when we were at that, we saw each other at that that showcase, that college showcase in Dallas.
Yes.
Isn't that where you
So I did do a showcase at the. I think it was called the All American.
Showcase.
All American showcase is mainly for, you know, junior colleges, but also like people that wants to transfer, mm-hmm. to show what they have. They go there, and that's where I went. And you were there too, and so they saw me there, but they didn't recruit me from there. It was more of like he said, she said stuff. And that's how they recruited me. So like they heard that, you know, I was the top shooter in the nation, and they needed shooters, so that's why they recruited me. But with Xavier, it was a short stay over there because I didn't really, you know, I felt comfortable. I felt really comfortable around there, but some stuff was happening back home and stuff. Mm-hmm. And just decided to come back home so that I fixed those stuff back home. And thankfully, Olu gave me a second chance. But come to find out, that's COVID year. And that was supposed to be my last year also. But that COVID year kind of like threw us off with the NAIA schedule and the D1 schedule because we only played 12 games during that year. In the, let's see, October, November. Probably like in a 5 month span, we only played 12 games. And it was because games got canceled because of, you know, either we have COVID or they have COVID. And that's why we never played at NAIA school. However, we played nothing but Division I schools, including University of Houston, which that year they were number five. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were number five in the nation, and they went to, they played in the Final Four.
Right, right.
So during that year, I averaged 15 points, shot 52% from the field, 39% from the three-point line, and 90% from the free throw line. And that was against only Division I schools. We didn't play any NAIA schools because it's either we had COVID or they had COVID whenever we were going up against them. Mm-hmm. And then whenever we have COVID, we have to sit out, no matter, you know, it could be only one person that had COVID. The whole team still has to sit out for 2 weeks. Damn, just for safety and protocol.
That's a wild. So there was no type of, so none of your games got maybe possibly, you know, they even considered rescheduling it?
No. And Coach Dial actually, he pulled us out of conference play because of that, because there are some schools that didn't follow the protocol. Mm. And he knew that they didn't test two times a week, like we should, just in general, just, you know, to be sure that everybody's clean and everything. So he, as much as we want to play, I believe that was a good decision for him, for us, because we already got popped like 3-4 times during the season with COVID, with COVID protocol. So actually, there was actually a game during, I'm not going to say which team or what, but there was actually a game where a player didn't feel good. And before the game, and the coach said that, you know, he can, you know, he's good. He could just play it out and all that. But then the start of the game, he was already sweating bad. And then they called a timeout probably like 5 minutes before, 3-4 minutes into the game. Probably the first media timeout. It was probably the first media timeout.
Damn.
And he couldn't taste his Gatorade. And the trainer caught that, and the trainer grabbed a COVID test, a rapid COVID test, and he was positive, and they canceled the game from there.
That sound like what happened when Rudy Gobert got COVID that very first time, and he
went to, and he was just playing around. Yeah. And tested everything and stuff. Yeah, so but in that situation, he didn't know until like. He had symptoms, obviously. Like, he was telling the coach he didn't feel good. He was telling everybody that he wasn't feeling good. And then once during the game, he couldn't taste his Gatorade, that was a huge red flag. The trainer caught that. But overall, though, I mean, it was a short season, but I mean, had a lot of success. And, I got my bachelor's from Olu with a major in finance, I saw. Right. And the issue was this time, too, is that I really wanted to stay. But the issue was the athletic board, they got new members for the athletic board at Olu. Mm-hmm. And those boards, they were cutting the budget for for athletic program, especially the master students, athletes. So the program that I wanted to do, it was a 2-year program. I only had 1 year eligibility left.
Right.
And so the issue was since I didn't have two years, that 1 year, they're only going to pay half of that first year. So in reality, they were going to pay a quarter of my school. And we all know with a private school, lose a private school, it's more expensive.
Yeah,
exactly. So I was like, no, I'm just not going to do that. I really wanted to play here because, I felt like I could have been an All-American.
Right.
The last year, but I feel like same time with Olu, but it was like just look somewhere else and just and it was hard for me because I couldn't put my name in the portal, the transfer portal, because I was from an NAIA school.
Exactly.
So like I have to like grind. I have to send emails out, call coaches and all that, and all the coaches I called, it was either Division One or Division Two schools, and then it was a long process, and I ended up at A&M Corpus.
Mm-hmm.
So at A&M Corpus, I mean, I couldn't really complain because one, I was a late recruit. Like they recruited me in August, and we were winning and stuff. So like I really can't complain about playing time. But at the same time, we still ended up going to
the tournament,
March Madness. Ended up going to the March Madness. We won the Southland Conference, and we ended up short in the tournament against Texas Southern.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a great experience. Experience that, I mean, I will never take back because it was just a winning program. It was a new coach who was who's actually East Central alumni too. So. It was just great knowing his backstory with East Central and just telling him my stories with East Central and stuff. So it was great, man.
Yeah, most definitely. Because I remember in high school, I think when you were on JV, I can't remember who it was, you ran headfirst into. And you had, like, I remember your mom was telling me that you had to, like, get surgery on your mouth, and you had to go back and get braces again. I can't remember who you like ran head on to.
It was Christian Schwartz. I think he probably like 6'3", white dude.
Yeah.
Strong as heck.
I most definitely remember him. And I remember that I was like, because I wasn't at that game, but somebody told me about it the next day. And I was like, they said that, they were just basically saying it was really bad. You had to go to the hospital, and they were saying you had to have surgery.
Yeah, I had to get stitches and stuff. It was a back cut. I don't know what happened. I mean, I think he had to sit out too. And I went up for a rebound. He was going up for a rebound, and we just bump heads, I think. Or like his elbow went into my mouth, probably.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, that's common, so.
Yeah, and my mom was like, oh my gosh, you need the mouthpiece and all that. I was
yes.
Like, yeah. I mean, at the same time, it's just basketball. Yeah. I got popped in the mouth in college one time. I had to get stitches again, but like, it didn't really affect my teeth, though. It didn't affect anything. It's just one of those hits that is just like, it's just basketball,
Yeah. But at the same time, I mean, the second time, were you wearing a mouth guard?
I didn't wear a mouth guard. I don't know, man. Like the best mouth guard I ever had, it was like from football. But even from football, it was too thick. It was thick, like those ones that you like melt in. Yeah, those.
I remember those.
Yeah, so like at East Central, they have one that's like a little bit thinner. And it's not like those big old ones that you buy from Walmart or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And like I could talk a little bit, but at the same time, it's still not a basketball mouth guard. And then the basketball mouth guards that like Steph Curry has and all
are
that
super small.
Super small is super expensive.
Yeah,
and I was just like, nah. So when I make it to the league or something, when I make it big, that's when I'll get the mouth guard because I can see why they need mouth guards You can catch an elbow from Joel Embiid.
Oh, yeah.
Or Rudy Gobert.
For real.
Yeah.
You're going to be on the But.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to get to, since you played at a mid-major Division I school and you went to the tournament. I also wanted to talk to you, you know, get your insight on the NIL rules. So, yeah. So I know you've been seeing people like what's his name? Nick Saban and the head coach at A&M. I forgot his name.
Jimbo.
Yeah, Jimbo. Can't believe I forgot his name. So the current rules, you know, do you think that the NCAA, you know, not just for, you know, football and basketball, but just, you know, in general, do you think the NCAA is going to eventually, you know, change the rules some way, somehow? Because it seems like it's like there's free agency and it's like a real free agency in, you know, in college sports. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, this school over here, somebody could be thinking about, you know, going to the University of Arizona, but you got a mid-major school, you know, for example, like, I'll just say a mid-major school like North Texas. They could be just hanging over his head, you know, $500,000-$600,000 NIL deal, and then he's really gonna think twice, you know, about going to Arizona, because, you know, you got another mid-major school that's hanging that money over your head if you come, you know, if you come and play over here. So do you think that they will eventually, you know, make some type of rule change to that?
So just going back to the rule setting of NIL, mm-hmm. I mean, you could correct me if I'm wrong, because my friend and I, we were actually talking about this. With NIL, the coach is not supposed to recruit players like by, oh, you know, we'll pay you. I just say, you know, I'm recruiting you for Anal Corpus. I was there, right? Mm-hmm. So I was recruiting you to Anal Corpus. I was like, okay, hey, so you can come to our school. We can give you $300,000, $400,000 worth of NIL. They're not supposed to say that.
Yeah.
That's a rule. And so... I think what they're getting away with is like some like people, you know, athletic booster come up to them. They'll be like, hey, this is how much you can get if you come here. This is how much we're going to pay you. The athletic booster is going to pay you if you come here. Exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's the key right there. Mm-hmm. Will there be a rule change? Yes. Because I mean, the NIL is just like this first 2 year, or this is the third year that's happening now, I think. It's either the second or third year. Yeah. So like, it's still like trial and error right now. NIL. And I'm actually for it because I'm actually for it because like, it just keeps the NCAA on their toes and stuff. Yeah. Like I believe, the transfer portal in general, even before the NIL, the transfer portal, like during COVID, before the NIL was a thing,
right?
It was pretty hectic and stuff. Just having people leaving left and right because they know that they could play the next year.
Most definitely.
So, what we were talking about was like with the NIL, what I think is going to happen is going to be more like the scholarships that they're going to offer and stuff. It's going to be more like contract based. So for instance, let's just say you come into A&M Corpus and it's 2 years, and like pretty much like we'll offer you this money, we'll offer you this scholarship for 2 years, and if you don't, like let's say you want to leave, you can't transfer to another school until this scholarship ends. So you don't have to pay, you don't have to play for the school, but like you still can't play for another school because you're still under contract here.
Exactly.
So that's what I think. But my insight with NIL and stuff, it's going to be trial and error, but they should keep it because obviously the biggest thing is that NCAA makes billions and a student athlete makes 50,000. Yeah. Like, well, I only say 50,000 because that's pretty much how much a degree is worth. depending on the school.
Exactly, because I know there were, you know, Division I players. They were getting like how much, like that stipend or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. And wasn't that like what $1,500
for Division I players?
Yeah,
it varies. It varies. I'm not going to be say too much about that, but it's more of like a refund of their scholarship.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it's just more of like a refund of their scholarship. They say a quote unquote stipend, but it's just a refund.
Okay.
Because like you can, like, let's just say, you could choose like a bigger meal plan, but you'll get less on your refund.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to say too much about that.
No, I got you. I completely understand. But I wanted to get to one of the last two things I want to talk to you about real quick. So I was watching, you know, we're going to jump to the NBA real quick. So,
okay.
I remember seeing Chris Broussard this past week. He said that the NBA, and this is all pertaining to Kyrie Irving, he was saying that the NBA now has – like an AAU culture where he's basically saying like the players tell you what to do. They play when they want to play. They show up when they want to show up. So Do you feel that type of culture, you know, is kind of looming over or, you know, or might be kind of maybe taking over the NBA a little bit?
So what I have to say about that is just what I think it kind of happened when they switched commissioners, when David Stern stepped down and Adam Silver stepped up, you know, stuff.
That's probably.
Adam Silver is playing more towards the players, and which is not bad because you do want to make sure your players are happy with what they're doing and stuff. You don't want to end up with players not actually playing as a whole, end up having a lockout and stuff. So I get that, but at the end of the day, if you're playing in the NBA, it's still a job. So with Kyrie Irving, I was talking to a couple of my friends about this. You know, I know it's a government job, but it's just the best example I can say because I know people that work for government and stuff. So if they don't get the booster, but if they didn't get vaccinated, they were going to fire them regardless.
Exactly.
So when Kyrie Irving did that, like, I understand you stand a certain way and stuff. And, like, you want to, like, I completely do. I'm not saying don't do it. Like, don't stand up what you don't believe in. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying don't do that. But at the same time, you have to deal with the consequences.
Exactly.
So, like, I mean, and he did. He was only getting his guaranteed pay. He didn't get any of his incentives and all that and stuff. But, I guess that's more like a financial standpoint from there. Like, he was getting incentives, like, getting paid, he's still getting paid, just not a lot, you know, but it's still a lot, but not as much as he wants to.
Yeah, because I know he lost double digit million this season because he basically played, I don't know exactly how many games, but I know it's somewhere around basically half the season, which is like 49, between like 48 and 51 games. So I feel like it kind of basically it's kind of the same situation. I feel a little bit with what's his name, Amari Cooper with the Cowboys, because he missed a couple of games because of COVID, and you know they see that as inexcusable. So that's one of the reasons why, you know, they got rid of him too.
I was going back one more thing about that though. Mm-hmm. It's just like at the end of the day too. Like, if Kyrie Irving is not playing and stuff, that's just holding, like, this is personally as a basketball player, that's holding another spot from another player. Like, that's, you know, that's working hard trying to get an NBA or something like that. You know what I mean?
It's trying to get
so, mm-hmm, so like, that's, yeah, from G League overseas or something like that. Like, I was saying same thing as, you know, like Vince Carter had nothing to do with the NBA, his 21st or whatever year he was playing with the Atlanta Hawks. Like, he just took the veteran minimum, and he just sat on the bench. And, like, was he coaching up the young guys and stuff? Maybe. I mean, I didn't really pay attention to Atlanta Hawks like that year. But at the same time, though, it's just like, that could be actually be another player or another veteran that can be more valuable with a veteran minimum. So, but
yeah, it's that's kind of like the same situation with the Miami Heat with Udonis Haslem. He's been just on the bench clapping and trying to be this leadership guy, and this is like his third season in a row of just doing that. And I'm like, that could be literally somebody else. You don't know who else that could be. That could be another solid bench guy they could have, or that could maybe be, even though he's taking a vet minimum, that could be maybe, you know, another all-star on the team. So
yeah, because Andre Iguodala, he has the same role, but at the same time, when you put Andre Iguodala in the game, he's going to be effective. If you put Udonis Haslem in the game, he's not gonna be effective like Andre Iguodala.
Exactly.
He's not. So that's it, bro. Like, it's just with Kyrie. I mean, if Kyrie Irving, is probably a different situation, because like, it's either like you rather wait for Kyrie instead of give up a G League spot, you know, give a chance for G League. So I kind of understand that too, but at the end of the day, you're holding a spot. And you're wasting money at the same time. You're wasting their money and their time.
Yeah, most definitely. That's one of the best ways to put it, though. Mm-hmm. So the last thing I want to get to real quick is NBA Finals. So when the Celtics went down, when the Celtics went down 3-2, after the Warriors won Game 5. Did you think that since they were going back to Boston, did you think, okay, this might be their best chance to win, you know, since they're at home and it's going to be an intense elimination game? But did you think that they had any type of chance of, you know, taking it to 7 games, even though they were, you know, playing at home in Boston?
Yeah, if they were going to take it to 7, it had to be at Game 6 because I mean, the Oracle Arena or wherever arena they have right now, with the Warriors, it's just hard to beat them at home.
Right.
And I really expected Jason Tatum to have a better game, and I think he did have a good game too. Not like a great game, but like it's not a superstar game, but
right.
Just a decent game and stuff. But at the same time, it's just like, it's a win or go home game at the end of the day. So, I was trying to look up his stats, but at the end of the day, I know he didn't really play well. I know Jaylen Brown balled. I know Al Horford did what he can. That like it's so hard. I don't know if you watch Supreme Dream YouTube channel, but they did a video of like, it was Jaylen Brown and Al Horford. They walked in the door, and Jaylen Brown closed the door. He was like, "All right, that's all the people that were hooping." And then Jason Tatum opened the door. He was like, "Why you close the door on me?"
So, I gotta watch.
You gotta watch it, bro. You'll laugh. And a dude was like, he's just like, what you call it? Al Horford. Al Horford is the only person that can shoot on the team. Jason. And he went up to Jason. He was like, he was throwing up bricks and stuff. And Al Horford was like, "And I'm guarding Steph." I was like,
That's funny. Because he was guarding Steph. He had to switch out. There were times where he was going to have to switch out, you know, take him one-on-one. But, you know, I mean, it is what it is. But, you know, I feel like, you know, the game that they should have won was Game 5 because Steph was like, 0-6. He didn't
make. He was an over yeah. from the 3-point line.
Exactly. And that's I ain't never seen him. I ain't never seen him miss a three in a finals game. But that was, if anything, that was the game the Celtics needed to win. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that you're completely right. And I was going to mention that. It was just like, especially I think he had 12. He ended up with 15, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like Steph Curry, he won the MVP, but like potentially the MVP of the finals in that series during that time had 15 points at the end of the quarter and they still won. It's like Andrew Wiggins, I was like, I like him, bro, but at the same time,
he only flourishes as the fourth.
Yes, he flourishes. Like he scored like he had like a double double, right?
Yeah, he had in game four, he had 18 points. He had 15 boards, and then game five, he had 18 and 13.
He's a great player, he's a great player as a role player. He can't be a superstar, bro. The T-Wolves tried it. It didn't work out. The only games he played good were against Cleveland and wherever his hometown was. I forgot his hometown.
I can't remember where he's from
either. Yeah. But, like, that's the only game. And then when he was with the Warriors, the only good games, the great games he had with the Warriors were against Cleveland and the T-Wolves because, one, you know, Cleveland traded them.
Yeah.
Kevin Love, and then T-Wolves traded for the Warriors to get D'Angelo Russell. And exactly. That's the only two teams he balled on. I was just like...
I mean, but he made the All-Star team, so that's the fourth option.
Fluke. I don't care. Wasn't he a starter?
He was. He was
a starter. The whole
season. And I think, I don't know for sure, I think he played all 82 games.
Kevon Looney played all the 82 games. Yeah. Why ain't he an all-star?
And come on. Come on, B. That's the same thing you can say about Wiggins. Role player. But he ain't going out there and getting at least 17 to 10. He ain't going out there doing that, but, you know.
Wiggins, don't get me wrong. I like Wiggins. I like his role for the Warriors and stuff. Exactly. Like, he's a great role player. And that's what people – sometimes that's what people don't understand is just, like, they don't need the ball that much to be
effective.
Great, effective on the at an NBA level. Like, he can still get paid. I don't think he'll ever get a max contract.
No.
But he can still get paid really good just playing that role, just pretty much a stat stuffer.
Right. Just
getting those points, rebounds, assists, and stuff, so – But yeah. I think his main two is really points and rebounds.
Yeah, and plus the Celtics' inexperience because they, you know, Al Horford was the oldest guy, but the farthest he had gotten to see the conference finals. Like he was
conference finals, Atlanta, right?
Yeah, Atlanta. But, I feel like those are the main two reasons because they were letting Andrew Wiggins beat them two games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one game since he scored 26, but... And, you know, the inexperience. But I feel like that's the main two reasons why they lost their turnovers.
Yeah, turnovers are terrible.
But the last thing that I wanted to get to real quick, I just seen on Instagram, you know, you posted, you're in this basketball league. Because I was told I think it's like a new startup basketball league, like a pro league, excuse me. A new startup pro league that you are in. You know, I was told that you're going to be in Cancun until early August.
Yes. So, actually about that, yeah, it's called the Caribbean Basketball League. It's a brand new league. A friend of mine hooked me up with a coach, an agent, that's really plugged in this league. And he said, like, I'm fresh out of college and all that. I mean, I'm at a mid-major, low-major college. You know, if I didn't put up this, and A&M Corpus is mainly low-major, if you're considering conference levels and stuff.
Exactly.
So even if I average like either 15 or 20 points at, you know, at South in the Southland Conference, I still probably have to start at a, you know, at a entry level league, not unless I know someone that's plugged in like that. But at the same time, this guy, he hooked me up with his league. I tried out for it. They loved me from the start. And we just had our first game yesterday. I ended up with 28 points. I had 6 rebounds. I had like 4 steals, 6 assists.
Yeah, no surprise.
All that. So it was a great – and then we won too. And apparently we were supposed to have the – apparently, the teammate I have, he's from Chicago. His name is Derek Scott. He ended up with 36 points that game.
Right.
And and apparently, we were supposed to have the worst team because what they did was the school that sponsored us, they have their team. And we had the coach for that school and the players for that school. So they're probably like 15, 16-year-olds that really – that's still – new to basketball,
right?
So and then we were going up against pretty much these guys that been playing basketball, and we ended up winning. So it was a fun game. It's a fun atmosphere and stuff. Cancun is awesome. We go to the beach, we go to Isla Mujeres sometimes, La Zona, which is like pretty much like a bunch of, I would say it's like a strip, you know, like the, you know, like the Vegas strip, something like that.
Right.
So yeah, it's real fun. And y'all can tune in too. Every Saturday, Philip, I can send you the link to it too. For the Caribbean Basketball League, we have games every Saturday. It's either going to be 2, 4, 6.
Okay.
I'll send you the link, and I'll send you the link through Instagram. I'll send you the schedule through Instagram too. And let everyone know about it and stuff. And just tune in, and it's just a great start for me, you know. And it's trying to get a bigger, better contract for the fall.
Right, right. Hey, man, especially me, I'm behind you most definitely. 100%. You got my support. Whatever you do, most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
For real. But thank you, Ethan. I appreciate you taking the time, even though we went like 15 minutes over 30 minutes, but it was most definitely. You most definitely gave some good knowledge, and, you know, most definitely. I appreciate you again. You know, I'm most definitely, you know, I'm going to have you on again. Most definitely.
Of course. Of course, Philip. Thank you for having me, man. I had fun.
Yes, sir. So thank y'all for tuning in. Whoever's going to be listening to this, thank y'all for tuning in. And, you know, we're going to be back at it again next Sunday with another episode for episode 3. Thank you.